look, Pastor Huddleston could vouch for this, and so can you. But the Bible tells us that the children of Israel were put there and written about so much as an example for us. We have so many examples. And Pastor, we have preached those poor people up and down and inside out and every which way you can imagine. But because they're such a good example, and the more that you serve in the body of Christ over the years, the more that you see that we're not too far from them. Amen, somebody? We have so much in common with them. And I think that's why the Lord said, oh, they'll be a good example for you. Don't worry about it. They will be. So just in case you're wondering, does God know what's going on with you? Let me first, now you're going to think, oh, this is off course. No, it isn't. But I want to start over in the book of Acts first and show you verse chapter 17. Let's go to Acts 17. I'm going to show you some words of the Apostle Paul, because he went into a place where these people didn't know what kind of God they were worshiping. And we're living in an hour and a day in a world where people don't even know who they're worshiping. And so let me show you what Paul said to them, and this will be a blessing to you that have never heard it, but many of you are very familiar with this. Let's start with verse 22, Kathy, okay? Verse 22, it's a little more reading, but it's okay. Acts 17, 22, and then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Somebody say there's a difference between religion and Christianity. For Paul says, because as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription on it, to the unknown God. Well, I haven't ran onto that in this generation, but just because I have it doesn't mean it's not there. But you got churches that worship, and religious people that worship all kinds of idols. We're living in a day of idol worship. Look at verse 24. We'll finish. To the unknown God. I even found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. You don't know this God, but I'm getting ready to tell you about him. Look at verse 24. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. Since he gives to all, look at these three things. He gives to everybody, life, breath, and all things. And he has made from, look at this, in this day of prejudice. In this day of prejudices, look at verse 26. And he has made from one blood. How many say one blood? One blood, every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Can you imagine that he literally appointed you and me to live down here in the 2000s? In 2025, he's appointed that we be right here, divinely appointed for us to be here at this time in this generation. No ands, ifs, or buts. We just read it, folks. We just read it. And this is the season. See, you only get one shot at your time on this earth, because we are in a certain generation. Every generation has had one, from David to Samuel to Paul to all of them, even Jesus. There was a certain generation that they lived in, and you and I are here. For what purpose? And God says, that's what I want you to know. For what purpose Are you here because I've given you life? Amen. I've given you breath. Amen. I've given you all things. All right, let's read on. So he said, and also I knew you would live in Porterville. I knew you would live in Bakersfield. I knew you'd live in Terrabella. I knew exactly where you would live. Look at that. And he said, there's only one blood. If you cut us in Africa or in California or wherever we are in Mexico, just one blood. All nations, one blood. And he's determined their pre-appointed times. Those that lived in the first century, they were appointed to live there. And the boundaries of their dwelling. So he knows that we dwell in this Tulare County. He said, I asked you to live there. I appointed you to live there. Now, I don't know. I know people can move around. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to leave California. I may be appointed here. You know, a lot of people just taken off, just like the Exodus. You know, when my dad came here from Oklahoma and my mother came from Texas, you know, there's grand Exodus. They came out here to get work, and now there's another Exodus, and they're going back to Texas and Oklahoma and Missouri. And so, I don't know, I guess God's changed their boundaries again. So anyway, verse 27, so they should, look, he says, these people now should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Because in him we live, move, and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So since we're his offspring, wouldn't you think we ought to act like him? Be like him? Talk like him? All right. So with that said, I want us to go over and look at these people in another generation. Go over to Numbers chapter 13. And let me show you what these people are doing in their generation. And sometimes you'll read right here today that they're acting just like we do at times in our generation. Okay, here we go. Let's start Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord said to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel, from each tribe their fathers. For you shall send a man, every one a leader from among them. There were 12 tribes of Israel, or Jacob, Jacob's sons. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So there were 12 tribes. Jacob had 12 sons, changed his name to Israel. And so they grew to be millions. And so he said, I want you to pull the leader out of each tribe, that would be 12 of them, and send them out there, verse 2 again, send the men to spy out the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. Look at me a minute. When God says, I'm giving you something, guess what he's going to do? He's giving it to you. There is no shadow of turning in him. He does not change his mind. You say, yeah, but I goofed up. But if God says, I'm giving it to you, he's giving it to you. So get back, get things right. Okay, so then Moses gives them direction in verse 17. And then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, now go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains and see. And see, remember that word, and see with your own eyes. You see what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak or few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. Whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or they're like strongholds. Whether the land is rich or poor. Whether they be forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So do you think God is saying, now go see what the land is like and if there's many or if there's few? Now, did God say, if there's few, I'm not going to give the land to you? Or if the cities are like camps and they're not like strongholds, and there's more poor than rich, and there's more forest than flat land, I'm just not going to be able to do it. You can't look at your life and see it with your eyes and say, well, this isn't there. I don't have enough money. My mother wasn't this. My daddy wasn't this. And it's just not working. I'm just not educated enough. All of it doesn't matter. If God said in his word, I will, that means I will. That's all that it means. Now, today, I'm just going to call this message, God's word is greater than. And I told her, don't put anything else at the end. You put the next word there. God is greater than. And you'll see how great he is. And let these sweet people talk to us again. So they went up, verse 21, they went up and they spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin. Go up to verse 23. How sweet, God tells Moses. Because, listen, God knew what was in the land. He said, Moses, tell him to bring home some of that luscious fruit. Tell him to bring some figs and some pomegranates. I don't know if he said grapes, but look at verse 23. And then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster. Look, one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. This grape cluster was so huge and so abundant and so full. They'd never seen a grape cluster like this. So they had to get a big, this is just unimaginable. They have to get this long pole, put it on the shoulders of these men, and carry that cluster of grapes on that pole. It was so big. And then they brought the pomegranates and the figs. Verse 24, the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster. That's what Eshcol means, is cluster. Because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. God said, I want you to get a good look. So you've got 40 days. Check it all out. Look at it. And he says, and then come back and tell the people what you saw. Oh my goodness, this just gets so big. You could just run with this all day long. If you don't have these scriptures charted in your Bible, you should, shame on you. This has been preached, and when you're reading through your Bible, you see this. My goodness, this is one of those where you just can't help but color red and yellow and pink and any kind of highlighter you got. So you get down to verse 27, and so they get back to talk to Moses and the people in verse 27. Then they told him and said, "Woo, we went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Would you look at this cluster? And this is its fruit." Nevertheless, this is where we get in trouble, folks. You have the promise. You know it's good. Yes, yes, there's milk and honey flowing, and yes, God has blessed me. Yes, I've been praying for $1,000, and yes, he did send me $500. Nevertheless, that's not enough. It's not what I needed. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land, we saw them. They're strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw, didn't God tell them to go look? And they said, we saw, underline that, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the descendants of giants. Ooh, these 9-footers, these, I don't know, 7-8-footers. I don't know how tall they were. But we saw them there. They're strong, and the cities were fortified. They were so big, and we saw that. And verse 38, look at this. Excuse me, verse 30. And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, oh, just let us go up at once and take possession of it. For we're well able to overcome it. We can do this. We can do this. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. Did God say anything about we? See, God, he's just all powerful all by himself. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need our strength. All he wants is our worship. And he really does need that. He loves that. Because he said, when you worship me, you give me strength. You give me breath. So powerful to even go there. But God says, I'm giving it. Now you get up there. So here you've got only two men. One's an old guy now. 85 years old. Started with Moses when he was 40. You got old Caleb. And then you got young Joshua. And they're like, what are you guys saying? We can do this. Yeah, there were giants. And yes, there was fortified cities. And they were strong. And they were robust. And they were tall. But we can do this. The old man says, we can do this. You know why the old 85-year-old guy said that? Because he knew his dependence was not upon himself. He knew it was all about God the Father, and he had met with him, and he knew how powerful he was. But you got these other 10 spies, and by the way, they are leaders of the tribes of Israel. And God, that's encouraging to know those leaders. What? Those leaders are like, we can't do it. What were they saying? It says they saw the giants. We saw them. Well, Caleb and Joshua saw them too. But you got 10 men that are saying these spies are stronger than we are. You got two saying, but God is stronger than the giants. So I ask you today, which is it going to be? Is your enemy going to be stronger than you? Or is God stronger than the enemy? And that's what we have to decide, church, and hold on to it. The little song we just sung. Our God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh, he is my God. Well, if he's your God, I can tell you right now, he's not the giant's God. He's just not. Now, I want you to see. Oh, my goodness. They just remembered God. Hey, God said, I'm giving you the land. Sometimes, look. Sometimes all we have to do, church, is just turn our little rear ends around and look at what God has done for us. But sometimes how easily we forget what he did before. When you're looking at the giant now, you're like, I know he did that, but I don't know about this. Why wouldn't you know about this? Saying, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the host of the armies of heaven, my goodness, the captain of the host of the armies of heaven. They saw, let's read on down. I don't want to lose that. I got to go back to that. Verse 28. So they saw the descendants of Anak. Caleb quieted the people and said, hey, hold on. Let's go and take this. Look at verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, no, we're not able. Listen, don't ever say that. That is a slap in your father's face. Jesus went to the cross. Don't ever say, I'm not able. You know what? Let me give you the Greek for that. You're not able. You're just not able. There's no way you're able. Now, we're living in 2025, and the number 5, I'm not big on numbers and numerical studies, but I know this much. The number 5 represents grace. And God is giving us a little, I believe, a window in America, a little opportunity, a little window of opportunity to say, move in here, church. Don't stop now just because America seems to be winning and taking it back. Don't stop now. Well, I don't know if we're able. Well, our God is able. Okay, so that's what you got to know is our God is able. All right, read on down. Oh, yeah, verse 32. And they gave the children of Israel, those 10 spies, not all of them, but 10 of them, they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. What did it say? They devour their inhabitants. They devour their inhabitants. What's that mean? Could that mean that they eat them? I mean, sometimes people, when they're given a bad report, they get so far out in left field, they eat their inhabitants. Well, no wonder they wouldn't want to go into a bunch of cannibals. No, we saw them. We saw. I know you're seeing some things, church, but would you remember this? It was Joseph's dad. Remember? The brothers were jealous of Joseph. When they were young boys, this still talking about the 12 tribes, the boys were jealous because they knew that Papa Jacob loved Joseph more than that, more than the rest. They made him that coat of many colors, and they were so jealous of him. Listen, they took that little coat of many colors, and they killed a lion, and they dipped it in animal blood, and they took it back and said, Dad, look at this. Joseph's dead. And the Bible said Joseph saw the coat. He saw it dipped in blood. And the Bible says they tried to comfort him, but guess what? He could not be comforted because he saw the blood on the coat. Now, you know what? Some of you right now in this room, you're looking at some bad evidence. You're saying, I see it, Pastor. I know what you're saying, but I see the evidence. This is a bad deal. But Joseph wasn't dead. It was a lie. And he grew up to be the prime minister of the land. So here you go again. They're looking at something. They're seeing the evidence. It's true what they said. We saw the giants, verse 33. The descendants of Anak, they come with the giants, came from the giants. Look. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. Okay, they knew what God thought about them. They knew that God had given them the promised land, and they knew that they were chosen of God. Israel knew that they were a chosen people. They were a powerful generation. They were blessed people. They were royalty in the sight of those in heaven, in the sight of God, children of God. And yet it says, we saw the giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So now you know what they're saying. This is hard to believe. They could not believe what God thought about them. How is it that it is so hard sometimes for the people of God to believe what God says about us, thinks about us? He says, I think about you all the time. My thoughts about you are more than the sands of the sea. I think about you. Man, I've got plans for you to do you good and not evil all the days of your life. That's what he said about us. And yet these people had a hard time believing that, but they had an easier time believing what the enemy said. And it's possible that the enemy didn't even think they looked like grasshoppers. It says, we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. How did they know? They didn't know. They didn't know what the enemy thought about them. Now, you can make a suggestion and think what's coming up. You think you know, but you don't know. Church, what I'm trying to get across to us today is forget what you think the enemy thinks, because you will begin to act like that. You know what? When we lived at the ranch, I've told you before, the girls and I, when we would go out fishing on the little dock there at those little lakes, and we would go fishing, and we just grabbed grasshoppers because I didn't want to put no sticky worm on that hook. So we'd grab a grasshopper, and their grasshoppers just hop, 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 hop. They just hop all the time. And when I looked at this, I thought, well, you may as well be grasshoppers, because all you do is hop from one thing to another. You hop from this fear to this fear to this fear to this anxiety. This isn't good. That's not good. I don't like him. She don't like me. How do you know she don't like you? How do you know? You don't know anything. Because the Proverbs told us that. It says, wisdom is the beginning. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It says wisdom is the principal thing. So with all of your getting, get wisdom. And with that, get understanding. And you know, some people you think have wisdom and they still don't have a bit of understanding. Still just as ignorant as a grasshopper. Just hop, hop, hop here, hop there, hop wherever the action is, hop around. We don't have to do that, church. So look at this, look. So they go and give these sweet people this horrible report. They're huge and they're big and we're nothing. I mean, we're just plain old nothing. You ever looked at yourself and somehow you got it in your mind that you're just insignificant. And you're small. And you don't matter. Nothing matters. Who cares about you? Who likes you? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about me. Nobody understands. And nobody's going to understand until Jesus comes. He's the only one that understands our craziness. He's the only one. So I don't worry about you not understanding me. Because I'm just as fluky as you are. So you don't have to understand me. All I've got to know is Jesus loves me. And he knows what makes me tick. And he knows what makes you tick. And he knows why you are the way you are. We all came from different upbringings. Now, we're not talking about coming over here committing sin. That's not permissible. But I'm just talking about, don't be so hard on yourself. Because he loves you. He knows who you are. So these guys, look at this. They said, man, we were like grasshoppers. Look at chapter 14. Here's what happens if you carry bad reports all the time. And if you just hop around like a grasshopper. If you think in your own mind you're nothing but a grasshopper, then your enemy thinks you're a grasshopper. Well, of course you will, because you think you are. 14:1. So all the congregation, they act like they're in cahoots with the 10, don't you think? All the congregation, they lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all night. Say, well, Pastor, maybe they were praising God. Well, let's see what they were crying about. Verse 2. On all, there's that word all again. First it said all the congregation. Now all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? How many know we're living in the land of victims? Oh, man, you meet victims all the time. Somebody told me the other day, I ran onto somebody at the mall in Visalia the other day, and you should have heard them, Pastor. They just went on, told me all their dirty laundry, went from one bad thing to another bad thing to another bad thing to another bad thing. Hop, 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 hop. That person may not have even known this message, but if they did, then they would think inside, grasshopper. So they said, no, no. Now, how rude to not even be thankful for what the Lord has given you. He gave it, and now they're just turning their back. Yeah, what'd you do? Just bring us out here to die? They didn't hear one word. Listen, they didn't hear one word that Moses said in the beginning. Moses said, go. I'll just read it. You don't have to put it up. 13, he sent men to spy out the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. There's only two men out of that bunch, out of the whole congregation, out of all of Israel, out of the 12 tribes, only two men, Caleb and Joshua, remembered that God said, I'm going to give you this land. When you're in a financial strait, do you say, I'm not going to make it? God, did you just give me this business to let it die? Or do you remember to the people who love him, he said, I will meet all your needs according to my riches in glory. Not your riches, because you don't have much. You could be a multimillionaire and not have anything. But he said, oh, I will meet your need. Whatever your need is, I'll meet it according to my riches in glory. Church, don't forget these kind of things. When you're sick and diseased and you don't know if you're going to get well, don't forget that by his stripes, I am healed. And then you let him deal with it. It's not any of my business. If I pray for someone and they don't get healed immediately, that is not my business, and I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to pray and believe God. I'm going to be obedient to his word. I'm going to continue to pray every day, and I'm going to seek his face, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read the word. And I'm going to put the word in me, believing that the piece of the word that I put in is going to come out at the right time, at the right place. Amen? So these people are now crying the blues. They got the same promise. Listen, you can have the same two people come into a church service. One goes out and says, ooh, that was the best service I've ever been in. Oh, my goodness, it was so good. I love the word. I love the worship. I love the altar. I went to the altar and God touched me. And another will say, that was the most boring service I have ever been in. I believe it's the difference of the heart. Hallelujah. Sarah and I, one time, we were not long after the accident, we went to Pismo Beach. And I said, honey, we need to go to church. And we wanted to walk. We didn't want to have to move our car from the hotel. She says, where are you going to go? And I said, well, I saw that little Lutheran church. We can't go in that Lutheran church, Mom. You can't go in there. I said, that's where we're going to church. So we walk down there. Y'all know that little church. I think it's on Price Street. And we went in there. And you know what? If you're hungry for God and you love him, I'll tell you, that person just had the right message. I don't even know what it was. But I enjoyed the prayer. You know, it was just some prayer that was put out. But I loved everything that day. If you're hungry, you're going to get fed. But if you're anorexic in the spirit, nobody can feed you. Because you're anorexic. And anorexic people usually can't eat. So, anyway, what time is it? Do I need to, okay. So he said, you brought us out here, so now they're like, oh, no, they've totally forgotten what God said. I'm going to give you the land. No, it's over. Don't be forgetting anything, church. Do not forget the word of the Lord. You can't, because if you do, you're going to be crying the blues just like these people, and you're going to say, why did I even take on that responsibility? It's not worth it. All right. Verse 4, now they really get crazy. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Oh, can I tell you something while we're right here? Okay, I'm going to anyway. Del didn't say nothing, so. Anyway, we're going to have our 29th anniversary in August. And I'm going to come in here, if the Lord willing, and I'm here. I'm going to come in on August 11th, or whatever day we're celebrating it. And I'm going to carry the gospel in. And I'm going to declare, if the Lord builds this house, nobody can tear it down. And I'm going to declare to you that we are in a season of revival, and the glory of God is going to come as the waters cover the sea. I'm going to preach that same word, that this is what's coming, because I believe he gave it to us. I believe he said, and I believe he birthed this church on that. So I will say it. I'm just giving you warning. I'm going to say it again. You know why you say that? Because you believe it too. you believe it with me. So it'll be all right because you'll be here to celebrate with me. I know you will be. So I thank God for these two boys because they knew that God was greater than. He was greater than the giants. He was greater than their fear. He was greater than the fortified cities. He was greater than the huge giants. He was greater than any of it. So when you look at this church, you saw their fear and their negative words. You saw how it affected these sweet people. If you speak fear to your babies at home, and you speak ugly things about people in the church, you speak fear about whatever's happening at home, we don't have this, we don't have that, you could cause real discouragement to come to them. You don't want to do that. It says they cried all night. But you see what a bad report does? It affects all the people. But thank God. All right, look at this. I'm going to give you this word right here, and we're going to close. Let's start at verse 7, Kathy. Now, back up to verse 5. Let me get it all so you all can see it. We're closing. You're going to go to the rest of it in a minute. You'll forget. You won't forget this. You'll hold on. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron, when they heard the people say, we just want to go back home. We'll just go back there and eat leeks and garlics. We're tired of this mess. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron, they fell on their face before the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. They were tore up from the floor up. God, we're so sorry that our people have behaved in that manner. How could they be so afraid of these giants and not honor you with your omnipotent power? How can they do it? Verse 7. And they spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, here's what they said. Look at the sweetness and the humility of their words. Caleb and Joshua tried to talk some sense into them, and they said, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. It's really good land, folks. And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, just like he said in chapter 13, verse 2. He'll give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Remember, they announced, oh yes, it's flowing with milk and honey, but nevertheless, there's giants there. Verse 9, they said, only do not rebel. Don't rebel against the Lord. Don't resist him, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has totally departed from them. For the Lord is with us. You don't have to fear them. Their protection is gone. Could it be that some of this that's going on in America, their protection has left them? And God is with us, and he said, you are my desire, and the enemy that's against you. Did the Bible not say it? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Oh, in Matthew, the very last word, he says, oh, this will fall and that will fall. But he said, my words will never fail. My word will always, always be there. 10 said the giants are greater. 2 said God is greater. The enemies are greater. Your enemy is greater. Or God is greater. It's just one of the two. I don't know about you, church. I do know about you. I want all that God has for me. Remember when these people went out? It was the season of harvest. It is the season of harvest right now in 2025. It is the season of harvest. You said, then how are we going to take this back? Look, not only must you see God, but you also, you can't just see him in all of this. but you also have to say it. You have to speak that he is my God and he is more than enough. He shall supply all my need. He will take care of me. I don't know how, but I see him. And I will say of the Lord, I will say of him, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. I wonder how many people live in the wilderness today simply because they're afraid of the giants. Today, Brother Danny met me outside and said there was a couple of homeless people that had a tent stretched out right here on the other side of the youth building, and he had to remove them. They were very kind. He said they just got up and left. But people like that, you wonder, where did they let the giants take over their life? And if you're in the house of God today, you really need to be very, very careful what you're letting come in to your mind. Remember when little Caleb or older Caleb, it says that he quieted the people. He probably went, shh, and he quieted them with his hands. And he quieted them, and he tried to talk to them. We can do this. And they wouldn't listen. But I want to tell you this today, church. And I'll say this again in closing. Whenever you begin to see the giants and you see how big they are and you see their whisperings, you see it says they saw the giants. They saw. But then the bad spies, or I should say the 10 spies, spoke an evil report. Just bad words. But Caleb and Joshua never let go of their speech. They never let go of speaking like God. And they said, we can do this because God gave it to us. I'm going to tell you, say, oh, Pastor, are there going to be giants? Until Jesus comes. Until Jesus returns, there'll always be giants. There'll always be resistance. There'll always be rebellion against you. Satan will be there fighting you every step of the way. And you just have to hold on by faith. Say, we can do this. Well, they saw it. We got to see our blessing. And not only do you see it, you say it, but then we got to take it. And I believe this is the day of taking. I believe this is the generation that will take back what the devil stole out of our camp. He took it from us. And we become strongholds today. But those giants of anxiety and worry, listen, and gossip. Don't ever use a prayer request to gossip. It becomes a giant worry and doubt and worried about your family. I don't know what my family's going to do. And then you let doubt rise up. Nothing wrong with doubt. Doubt just says, I wonder if this could happen. But when you school doubt and you keep thinking it, that I don't know, pretty soon it becomes unbelief. And then you're just left out in the cold. You're getting out there in the wilderness now. And that's not going to be good. But God is better than any giant, church. Oh, listen. So he's given us grace to take it all back. But you're going to have to quiet some voices. You got to quiet voices on the TV. Quiet the voices that are in your social media. You just have to tell them, you're not going to live in my home. You giant, you're not living in my mind. You've had your way. You've tormented me. You've aggravated me in my mind, in my hearing. You've aggravated me with voices that sound like mine, and I am not going to have it. So I quiet you today in Jesus' name. And you begin to quiet those things. You're not going to live in my marriage. You're not going to live in my house. You're not going to live in my body. You're not going to live in my friends. Sometimes you've got to quiet your friends. Just got to. I don't know how you do that, be sweet, but don't listen to it. You're not going to get in my head. Just because you may be jealous of so-and-so or jealous over here, that's none of your business. So just let it go, church. God is telling us, just take our land in this season while we've got a chance to do it. Because these guys picked up stones and they started to stone Moses and Aaron. Can you imagine? They just wanted to stone them and get them out of there. But God has given us grace. Kathy, put up Hebrews 4:16. Church, I just say give everything you have to Jesus. Everything. Your life, your mind. He says, I've given you life, breath, and all things. So give everything you are or ever hope to be to him. Doesn't mean you won't get scared sometimes and have something. You're wondering, oh my goodness, how's this going to work out? Well, you really don't know how it's going to work out. But you have to know that your God is able. Do you have it? Hebrews 4:16. Let us read this, and you all should have this memorized by now. But look, here's how we're going to take back. Here's how we're going to see it. Here's how you're going to take back your business, take back your finances, take back your holy living. Take back that, your family, the kids are getting out there. Get them back. Your marriage, get it back. Get it all back. How are we going to do it? By the grace of God. Let us, therefore, just come on in boldly to the throne of what? Grace. That we might obtain mercy, that which we don't deserve one bit of, and find grace that he just gives us willingly to help when? In time of need. He said, you can get all that right there if you'll just come to the throne of grace. You say, where is it? And how do I get there? You just go over there to the altar. You make a place with him. Now, you can pray in your car, but that's not an undivided place. I would say go to a place by yourself, the secret place. Get in there with him. That's a throne room. Immediately, you're in the throne room with him. And he says, come to the throne. And it's amazing that he calls it the throne of grace. That you might get mercy. To get the grace. To help you in time of need. That's how we're going to do it. Only by grace. Because we don't have it, church. We don't have the strength to do it. But he does. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. And keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. May be gracious to you, turn his beautiful face to you and his countenance toward you, and may he just repair everything that needs repair. I pray, Lord, that you'll keep your sweet people from all harm and all danger. And those that need money, Lord, may a check come in the mail right out of nowhere. Those that have things tied up in the courts, loose it. We bless your marriage. I bless your home. We bless the strength in your mind and heart and body in Jesus' name. God bless you today. Amen. Thank you for being at Landmark today.